SMQBs, we are back for episode 182. It is week 3 of the NFL. Hey, Pope, who are you bringing to a bar this week?
I'm going to bring the guy behind me, and it's not Jerry, it's King Henry.
Ooh.
Because, boy, I'd love to have a drink with him and toast him for hopefully helping the Cowboys in this horrific experiment that they're doing with their run back by committee. We'll talk about that more later. And also want to see what he's thinking about for Saturday night for the Georgia-Bama game, and we'll talk about that later.
I just want to see Pope. I'm just curious as to whether you're still in favor of Mike Zimmer over Dan Quinn as your defensive coordinator. I feel like we had a conversation about that recently, and you gave up almost 300 yards on the run. 300 yards on the ground yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't stop the run when it mattered last year. They can't stop the run now. Is Zimmer better than Quinn? I think the book is still out 3 games in.
All right. Hey, Milk, who are you bringing to the bar?
I'm going to bring the refs from last night's Sunday night football game and kind of pick their brains on that non-PI call, which, as you can see from the picture behind me, looks pretty clear to me.
Horrific.
Big factor in that game.
Appear to be. I'm not a referee, but that does look like pass interference to me. I don't know.
Feel like he's. I mean, he's tackling him way before the ball gets there,
and it was arms locked around him.
Locked arms
and
around.
And he's got his helmet buried in his chest to prevent him from being able to even...
It's really blatant. I mean, everything you can possibly do wrong as a cornerback is happening there. So, I'd like to pick their brain and see what happened there.
Well, yeah, he also held him as he's trying to get free in the end zone before that happened.
That's right.
Right in front of the refs.
Former Gators.
Rooster, who are you bringing?
I am going with my man, Aaron Judge, who's now at 55 dingers for the year. And I am going to just get him a free drink and encourage him to bring us to World Series victory number 28, fellas. Choke on that, Milk.
Wow. Ugh. All right, I'm going to bring one Max Verstappen because I just want to find out how tight this sphincter is getting right now. How worried he is. You know, I think it's going to be pretty difficult for Orlando to catch him. There are 3 sprint races left, but got to be getting a little uncomfortable for Verstappen. I heard him say he knew from the beginning of the race there was no way he could keep up with Lando, so he just tried to stay in second, and that's got to be an uncomfortable feeling for him. So I got some questions. So,
well, I mean, unless he has a couple of DNFs, and he's gonna win the championship as long as he places the top 3 or 4.
Yeah,
that's a big. I mean, he placed 6th recently.
Well,
yeah,
but that's assuming also that Lando wins all the races.
Yeah, I think. I mean, look, it's gonna be pretty difficult. It's not mathematically over, and certainly right now McLaren has the better car, and Lando's probably driving better than Max is at this point. So
that Piastri victory may bite them in the ass.
Yeah, right.
Both of them.
All right, let's get into NFL Week 3. Rooster, where are we? Week 3.
Well, we are, with the exception of 2 Monday night games tonight, we are finished with week 3, and we have some very unlikely undefeated teams. We've got the Vikings, the Seahawks, the Bills, who play tonight, are 2-0, Steelers and Chiefs. So, guys, of those teams, how many are there any besides the Chiefs you think are legit?
Like, I don't understand the Steelers. I mean, I guess you got to look at Tomlin and say he's just...
Never questioned me?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best. I mean, it's just... But because I don't understand anything about how the Steelers are winning football games.
Well, their defense is clearly elite this year. That's for sure. And Justin Fields seems to have learned how to read plays and think rather than just scrambling around like Anthony Richardson. But beyond that, I mean, I just don't see them. They beat the Falcons. That's a good team, and the Chargers. But they've got the Colts and Cowboys coming up next. We'll find out.
No worries with the Cowboys. I've been pretty impressed, Rooster, with the Vikings. Like, out of anyone that I thought would not be 3-0, I would have them way up there. But after the first three games, I mean, like, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Like, they're getting it done. Sam Darnold, now he might be hurt, right? I think his injury is...
I think he'll be fine, but they are...
Breaking news, because that's what we do here at SMQBs, MRI negative.
For them to beat the 49ers and then follow it up with that shellacking of the Texans, who everybody thought was, you know, this year's darling team, maybe even Super Bowl bound.
And their defense yesterday, I mean, they're putting up high numbers. They're getting the ball to, they're getting Justin Jefferson involved. Sam Darnold is having some sort of ridiculous resurgence, which no one expected. And their D is shutting down teams that have high-quality offenses.
Right. See, like, Brian Flores, their new defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, is, to me, the perfect example of the guy who should not be a head coach, but is a superb defensive coordinator and should just stick with that position. He's got teams totally baffled by his coverage schemes. They don't know what they're seeing until it's too late. So he's doing a hell of a job on that defense.
And Rooster, to stick with the theme of coaching, you know, the Vikings, Kevin O'Connell, man, I mean, he was the Washington coach who turned Kirk Cousins into a gazillionaire, working with him in D.C., then went to Minnesota as the head coach, where Cousins continued to have success. And now look what he's getting out of Darnold. So that's a guy who... clearly, he's a quarterback whisperer, probably an offensive, you know, guru too. But just, I mean, he took Darnold and he's got him 3-0. I mean, you wouldn't have seen that coming this season, right? He does something right with quarterbacks.
Yeah. And when Cousins was hurt last year, he did a pretty good job cobbling together backup quarterbacks on that team.
Yeah.
Well, I the Seahawks are the ones that kind of baffle me. I don't even think they're the third best team in their division. They're 3-0. I think the Rams and Niners are better teams.
They've had a cushy
schedule. The Broncos, the Pats, and the Dolphins.
Well, hey, hang on. The Broncos. You mean the ones that just blew out the Bucs?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe not Patsies.
Broncos.
I mean, the Dolphins were down to their third quarterback yesterday.
Right.
At one point.
They scored 3 points. That's all you need to know about what a challenge the Dolphins were.
So the thing about these teams that are 3-0, though, whether you believe in them or not, you know, it's hard to win games in the NFL, right? It's hard to get a win. And if you get three... you know, to start the season off, that's a damn good start, right? I mean, it really counts as much now as it does in week 17. And they're off to, you know, those 3-0 teams, they've got themselves in perfect situation right now. It's going to be hard for them not to make the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, unless they collapse. I'm with Milk. I believe in the Vikings and, of course, the Chiefs. The Seahawks and the Steelers remains to be seen. Because I remember, you know, 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago when the Cardinals had some amazing record in the first half of the season?
Yeah, like 9-0 or something.
9-0. And then they tanked second.
Yeah.
We don't know about the Bills yet.
No. Jacksonville tonight, but you never know.
There's really no reason to think that the Bills aren't going to be good, though, right? I mean, they've... you know, other than losing Diggs, I mean, they're a perennial, you know, AFC championship team at this point.
Big game next week. They play the Ravens.
Honestly, it's going to turn around. It's going to be seen. It's going to be very evident by the end of the year that getting rid of Diggs was a great idea. He was probably a cancer on that team. And the way that, I don't know, I just feel like Josh Allen is free now. And yeah. he's using Cook to his advantage, and they're running the ball great.
And two, they have two good young wide receivers.
Yeah. Who are you most sure. worried about?
Pardon me?
Who are you? Well, we talked about the 3-0 surprise teams. Who are the teams that you're most worried about right now where you look at them, you go, whoa, okay, you're digging a pretty good hole for yourselves. I mean, I don't think anybody really thought that who's 0-3? There's one 0-3 team.
Titans. The Titans.
Titans. Yeah. All right, Titans, whatever. I mean, that's fine. But there are some 1-2 teams like the Cowboys, like San Francisco.
Ravens.
The Rams.
Ravens. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Bengals are going to be probably 0-3 after tonight.
Or 1-2.
Or 1-2. But who are you worried about at this point?
I think you have to worry about the Cowboys.
Those are all good teams. I agree. I think, go ahead, Pope. I think the Cowboys.
Well, I guess worry is in the eye of the beholder, right? You guys aren't worried about the Cowboys at all. You fucking love it.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, but you know,
who's worrying about the Cowboys?
From right. a journalistic integrity
right.
standpoint,
yes,
Pope,
yes.
That's what we're talking about.
Objective, because you know the SMQBs, we are very objective. Yeah, I mean, their defense is getting gashed. Their $60 million quarterback is, as Bison would say, just a guy.
Second half, though, he looked good.
He looked good in the fourth
fantasy
quarter.
Game. Now, hold
about,
on.
How about Butterfingers Lamb, though?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that guy signs a big contract. He fumbles on the 10. Then
and
he's
they're fighting each other now. Is that correct, Pope?
They, you know, there's definitely some tension on the sidelines.
That's the first sign.
I, you know, Cowboys have they've got a rough stretch ahead. They go to the Pittsburgh after they go to the Giants, and we can talk Rooster about. You know, are the Giants, did they see a little resurgence? Is there a little hope there? Are they going to give the Cowboys historically own the Giants at MetLife? But, you know, is it possible that they go in there and they get knocked down to 1-3? Then they're going at Pittsburgh. This thing turns, it has turned around quickly from week one, and the Boo Birds are out. That fourth quarter comeback was. You know, that's what Baltimore does. That's the way they lost to the Raiders the week before.
Pope, I want to ask you a question about that. Did it feel better getting your guts ripped out of your chest when it was 28-6 or having your heart smashed apart when you came back and fell just a little short? I'm just curious.
For the anti-Cowboy nation that so many of us are now, it's almost better the way it happened. Just because it's a more like you could have won, but because you're a dumb fuck, you know, general owner, manager, whatever, that's why you lost.
Hey, to answer your question though, who am I most worried about? I'd say the Dolphins, because at least the Cowboys still have their starting quarterback.
Yeah,
the Dolphins are down to like their fourth string now.
So I've actually been getting texts today from my Miami guys, which they don't usually reach out to me to talk football, but they are begging for answers as to who they can sign as quarterback.
I think Cap is available still. Kaepernick's available.
Yeah, he'd be better than everyone on their team.
They've got some major issues.
They raise a good point. These guys are like, why? We literally had our whole season resting on a guy who has to sleep with a helmet on. Why did we not have a backup quarterback on the team? Why didn't we trade for Fields or something? And it's so true now. I mean, they had no backup going into the season.
You got to have a backup.
Maybe they can have Trey Lance for like a fourth rounder if they want.
Yeah, that's right. Russell Wilson.
I would add also, I'm not worried about them yet, but I definitely am watching them closely. And then you guys are going to be shocked to hear this, but the 49ers.
I'm with you.
Their defense, like you saw it happen in Minnesota, right? Then they give up 13 points in the fourth quarter yesterday and lose after Purdy like has the best game he's had all year, maybe in the last year as well.
Right.
Something's going on there. I don't know what it is. Maybe we shouldn't freak out. Maybe it's Christian McCaffrey's absence, but.
Well, I think I said this week one or going into the season, you know, those guys have played a lot of football over the last couple of years, right? I mean, they've gone deep into the playoffs and, you know, the more you play, I mean, these guys, it ages you fast, right? And they played a lot of football last year. There's a little bit of a, you know, that Super Bowl was, you know, tough to lose. And I don't know. There's just something that I'm worried about them too. That's who I think could be looking forward to. This is what their season could be. Sorry, Sam.
Do you put any of it on Brock Purdy at this point?
He had a great game yesterday.
He had a really good game. He looks
good. I don't know what it is. I mean, their defense just collapsed. You can't give
up. Well, yeah, I mean,
the Rams had nothing, by the way. They don't have
offensive weapons. Okay. Were out. Debo and CMC.
Rams are missing three of their starting offensive linemen and their two star wide receivers. Matthew Stafford really is underrated, I think.
Yeah.
He's pretty smart and good.
Yeah.
He's like,
well, what the Niners gave up, a 14-point second half lead, right?
Fourth quarter.
That's just unheard of.
Unheard of. I mean, that used to be shut down. It's over. 49ers win.
Yeah.
So, guys, how about the Red Rocket? And how in the hell do you explain the Panthers scoring 36 points against the Raiders?
Ooh.
After sucking so bad.
Bryce Young
looked that much worse?
I mean, everybody was like, oh, the poor guy's in this terrible system and, you know, blah, blah. Same system for Dalton, and look what happened.
Is Bryce Young going to end up in Miami?
He might. I mean,
maybe.
He needs
another Alabama quarterback.
He needs to be on a team like Minnesota where they know how to bring a quarterback along.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was bad.
I mean, the Raiders are doing what the Raiders do. They have that huge upset the week before against the Ravens and then just inexplicably blow against the Panthers.
Yeah,
that is typical Raiders. They shock the world and get some upset wins, and then they take their foot off the gas and blow a game. So I think it's really good for football to see the Purple People Eaters and the Steel Curtain back in action.
Well, this is the NFL. Football. This is why we love it. You never know. You never know. I mean, that's why every one of us is out of our survivor pools, right? At this point,
I didn't have anyone at 3-0. I didn't have any of those teams at 3-0 other than the Chiefs.
So I mean, what do we make of? We got to do this while he's not here. I want to come on here and say the Eagles are in trouble, but man, that was a gutsy win. It was a gutsy win, and they shut down that Saints offense. That, you know, again, showing you out so week to week, the league so week to week. I mean, they looked unstoppable for 2 weeks, and then the Eagles shut them down and found a way to win that game. You got to feel pretty good if you're the Eagles right now, don't you?
Yeah, I think so, except for the fact that last year they kept winning these ugly close games. And remember, I kept saying, hey, a win's a win. But then the rest of the league kind of figured them out, and they struggled.
They imploded the last six games,
to put it nicely.
They didn't have Saquon. I mean, Rooster, it's going to be the worst, like, football transaction in the history of the NFL, I think. to get Saquon going within the division to another team.
While he's healthy.
He's amazing. I can't believe the Giants happened. He's so good, and they're so much better than the Giants that he just is a superstar on a good team now. And I mean, he's amazing. I can't believe they got him.
He bailed out Jalen Hurts yesterday. I'm sorry. He bailed him out. Hurts had two turnovers, an interception, and a fumbled lost fumble. He did have that nice completion at the end of the game. I will give Hurts that. But
he doesn't look like he's in season form yet. And I think a lot of teams are suffering from that. It feels like the first three games have been sort of dress rehearsals for some of these teams. They look shitty. They're their play calling is terrible. There are lots of penalties. There's not a lot of long completed passes. I mean, the ones that have been completed are spectacular, but there's a lot of just dinking going on West Coast style offense because they're not in sync yet. And I blame the coaches. I blame the decisions not to really take preseason very seriously, except for the kickers. The kickers are like on another planet this year. What the hell?
And we got a 65-yarder yesterday from Aubrey.
Yeah.
That's the only highlight. That's
amazing. He's definitely the man now.
I mean, Rooster, you said it. Like the first three games, it's almost like we're seeing now what preseason used to be.
Right.
You know, when they played their starters. I mean, it's almost like we're now into the regular portion of the schedule now. You know, see week four going forward, now they've had three games to fill each other out, see where we are.
And speaking of, I mean, if you're the Browns, oof.
They're in trouble.
Mm. Oh.
You know, there are people saying that Jameis Winston really should be starting for them.
Oh, you never want to hear that. Never. Never.
Right.
Maybe he can go to Miami.
Watson looked better against the Giants than he'd looked all year, but that's still relative.
I'll tell you what, as good as Saquon is, as much as we're talking about Saquon, Rooster, I think you guys might have a really special offensive player.
Oh, yeah, man.
Neighbors is something else, and you know you might be 2-1 if you didn't drop a ball last weekend against the Commanders. But man, that guy is he's going to be a superstar.
Yep. Yeah. The question is that the way you draft on a really bad team? Do you draft a superstar wide receiver when you don't have a quarterback or a good offensive line, or do you do like the Chargers did? And draft, was it Joe Alt, who now is just a monster on the offensive line for them and no one can get by him? That's probably the way you build a bad team. Giants just never figure that out.
Yeah. Why are there two Monday night games tonight? Can someone answer that?
No idea.
It's not the first week of the year where I just don't understand why there's two games.
There is some sort of explanation. I didn't read it today. Somebody was talking about it.
I mean, the only one I came up with, like I said, was that somebody looked at the schedule and said, wait a minute, we put Cincinnati and Washington in a Monday night game. Nobody wants to watch Washington. Quick, schedule, move another game. So there's something for people to actually watch. I know. But with T. Higgins back tonight, this could be really ugly. This could be like
Is he back?
Yeah, he's playing. This could be like 42-17. Tonight in Cincinnati. So, all right, we got to do Plaxico's.
Let's go.
Yeah. By the way, the NFL finalized its current media rights agreement in 2021, and as part of the deal, ESPN and ABC received additional game broadcasts, including an expansion of multi-game Monday Night Football airings. This is not the only one. There's like multiple.
Oh yeah, no, they're next week too. Yeah.
So this is all part of this agreement in 2021, I guess.
Well, that's stupid.
It's money. All right. It's money.
Yeah, it's all money. Okay, let's see. I think, do we have the Plaxico standing somewhere here?
We do. I've got them.
You got them. All right, Rooster. Walk us through where we are.
So we are currently, out of 15 games so far, we're 10-5 as a group.
Epic.
All right. You're making money.
We went two for three last week. House leads the pack at being 3-0. Milk, Bison, and I are 2-1. And last year's champion, Pope, is bringing up the end at 1-2. Womp.
Bet on the Bucks. What the hell was I thinking?
I'm glad
we haven't even talked about it. How did we gloss over the Bucks?
I don't know. No, hey, keep going. Let's get into these Plaxicos.
Yeah.
I thought my pick of the Packers was the pick of the week.
Yeah.
Plus, yeah, you had a huge week.
Yeah. Did you miss a game, Rooster?
Nope.
Good God.
God.
Unfortunately.
I'll call you Sunday morning.
So yeah, so there are only two of us who won this past week. I did with the Packers plus two or the Titans. House did taking the Colts minus one over the Bears. Unfortunately for Bison, the Chargers did not beat the Steelers. Pope picked the Bucks minus 6.5 over the Broncos. And Milkster got the biggest blowout, picking the Texans minus 1.5 over the Vikings.
He lost by like...
Let's do better. Come on. Let's do better.
Shame on me.
All right, Milk. You're up now. How are you going to...
All right. So I've learned my lesson. I am, first of all, Mike Tomlin. I'm not going against him. I've got Pittsburgh minus two. Correct me if I'm wrong there, against the Colts. Anthony Richardson looks terrible.
Terrible.
Pittsburgh will continue and get to 4-0. Pittsburgh minus two. They win by field goal.
All right.
Maybe more.
All right.
Who's up?
Yeah. I've got Rams going to the Bears. Rams showed me something. Bears haven't shown me anything, which is why it's such a delicious line with the Bears giving 2.5 at Soldier Field. I'm all over the Rams on this one.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I like that pick. How about you, Bison?
I got to tell you, that's the one I had too. In fact, I already got money on that one. When I looked at that and saw the Rams getting 2.5, that seemed juicy to me.
Yeah.
All right.
That's also mine. I'm taking the Rams.
Wow. We're loading up on the Rams.
Yeah.
Rams. Interesting. Yep. All right.
That means they're going to lose.
Yeah, for sure.
Vegas always wins.
House, what is House taking?
I don't.
House has
texted us. Hold on.
Yeah, he did. He's got
Chargers, right?
Yeah, he's got the Chargers.
Yeah, Chargers getting 7 from the Chiefs.
Ooh.
All right, and I'm gonna give you
that. Herbert's hurt then.
Yeah. If Herbert's out, I don't know.
The Chiefs haven't done anything yet.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to give you the parlay of the week. Oh, wait, Rooster, did you give your pick?
I did. I'm taking the Rams also.
You got the Rams too. All right. So I'm going to give you the SMQB parlay of the week. Milk, tell me what you think of this. I've got the Rams, as I picked for my Plaxico, the Rams getting 2.5, parlaying that with the over 43.5 in the Vikings at Packers.
I like it if Sam Darnold is playing. I don't know if he is, but keep
going. I think he is. I think that's what the news
will be.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
just a 2-game parlay?
Yeah, that's it. Just a 2-game run this week.
Over in the Vikings game.
Yeah.
In the Rams.
All right, you bet 25. How much you win on that?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Probably 50, something like that.
Just double it? Seems like it'd be higher than that.
No. It'd be better than that. Let's see here. You got the Rams and the over. If you put $20 on that, you're winning 72.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds like an SMQB bet.
Put it in now before the line moves.
And I got to tell you, I can't find the one last week. I can't find which app I put it on there. So I can't tell you how we did on that one.
I don't know if you had a parlay last
gambling week. Gambling problem?
Oh, no, I wasn't. It was the weekend before because I wasn't there. I wasn't on last Monday.
I mean, if we go all in on this Rams and the Packer Viking over, we could move the needle on this with our listeners going all in. We can move the point spread.
True. Yeah,
good.
I agree. All right. Anything else on NFL? Let's do a little Pope. We got to just touch on some baseball for a second.
I mean, we're right there on the lip of the cup of the playoffs. I mean, we're only 1 week out.
We'll talk about that. Pope, we got to talk about Ohtani.
Yeah. Ohtani had arguably the greatest game ever, and then I'll argue maybe possibly the greatest week ever of any Major League Baseball player. In one game against Miami, he had he was 6 for 6 from the plate with 3 homers, 10 RBIs, scored 4 runs, hit 2 doubles. He got, I don't know if you guys know this, he got thrown out at third trying to extend to a triple so that he could have also hit for the cycle along with 2 stolen bases. He went from the 48 club that night to the 51-52 club, I believe. And he's now at 53 homers and 55 stolen bases. Just phenomenal. 17 stolen bases, 17 total bases for that game. So for the week, quickly, his line was he was 16 for 32. So he batted 500 with 6 homers, 7 stolen bases, 17 RBIs, 11 runs scored. And led the league pretty much in every category for the entire week. So what a phenomenal game. I don't know if you guys saw the highlight. His last home run was just a moonshot.
Oh my God. Off of like an outfielder pitching, right?
But now that was a little lob ball, right? I mean,
yeah, but same. That's harder to hit that far. You got to generate all of the power yourself.
That's true. That's true. He did absolutely destroy that ball.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of another day like that in Major League Baseball history
He's unbelievable. He is unbelievable.
And you know, let's touch on this very briefly because we'll have an answer fairly soon. But the MVP, I want to hear Rooster's thoughts on this. The MVP race is just sick. I mean, because Aaron Judge is got 55 home runs. He's leading the league. He's got .323 batting average. He's like 2 or 3. He's got 138 RBIs. He's leading the league. I mean, he's damn near hitting the triple crown, and he's not going to get the MVP. Rooster?
You think Ohtani takes it from him?
I think it's a no-brainer, Ohtani.
Yeah.
Oh, over who?
Over Judge.
They're not in the same league.
You're in different leagues.
Well,
AL and NL.
All right. So yeah.
I think Judge gets the AL. I think Soto is.
Judge definitely gets the AL.
Definitely get it. It weren't for Judge.
Judge and Ohtani.
Yeah, but the one that you're missing is Witt.
Yeah.
Witt is having probably one of the greatest seasons of all time. And he's not gonna get the MVP because of Judge.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the one you got to look at the season that Witt is having. I'm trying to find the WAR leaders right now. Here we go. So Judge wins above replacement this season. Judge is at 10.28, which is otherworldly, and Bobby Witt Jr. is at 9.31, also otherworldly, and he's not gonna. You know, he's not gonna sniff the MVP award. Ohtani's at 8.39, which is, you know, below those guys. It's actually fifth best, but you got to remember he's not playing defense, so he doesn't get any points. He doesn't get any points for defense at all. Can you imagine if Ohtani were pitching too and having, you know, a decent season pitching? I mean, his wins above replacement would be outrageous. So. I mean, Bobby Witt is going to get a little bit of the shaft here only because of Judge having such a historic year.
So here's a question. And I guess this is why I'm asking, because is there any other major sports franchise league where the MVP is one from each conference versus, I mean, think about it. The NBA is one MVP. The NFL is one MVP. NHL is one MVP. So why is football different? Baseball different.
I think it's because of back in the day when they had different rules for the NL and AL with like the DH.
Yeah, it's got to be that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now we're conforming.
I mean, we, you know, it also goes back to, remember, it wasn't that long ago that the NL never played in the AL teams during the, you know, during the regular season. Mm-hmm. Right. You had complete separation. There was no interleague play. So I think that's part of what it goes back to also. And now, you know, it's just more fun to have two.
Well, all right. So if you had to pick one, if you think the two are Judge and Ohtani, and you had to pick one, who would it be?
I would say Ohtani.
You'd take Judge? Okay. Nace?
He's a winner.
I think I'm taking Judge. I don't know. You know what did it for Judge? You know what's going to do it for me? The last game I went to where I saw Judge play, he was playing center field. The guy's fucking like a tight end.
He's 6'9" in the center field.
He's playing enormous center field. And he ran back and stole not one, but two home run balls in one game. And on one of them, he went up over the wall, caught it, and fired a strike from about as far in center field as you could possibly be at Nats Park to double up the guy who had been on first. I mean, Ohtani is special, but Judge is having a year, man. I mean, it is unbelievable.
He's about to pass Babe Ruth. So the top five home run seasons for Yankees includes Babe Ruth was 60 and 55, and Judge was 62 and 55 now. So he's about to knock Babe Ruth down a notch to only having one of the top home run seasons in Yankee history.
Interesting.
Wow.
By the way, just to see if you guys ever pay attention to me when I talk about old-time baseball. What Yankee was the very first DH in all of baseball history?
Bobby...
No.
What's his last name?
No idea.
Ron Bloomberg.
Ron Blomberg.
Okay.
Bloomberg.
Bloomberg?
Ron Bloomberg.
What year is this?
This was in like the maybe 69 to 72 time frame. Yeah. I can't remember what year the DH came.
April 6, 1973.
Close. Wow.
Good job, Brewster.
Before they made him a DH, he was the worst first baseman in all of baseball. The guy had stone hands. I was at a game at Yankee Stadium where the Yankees turned a triple play and Ron Bloomberg dropped the ball at first base to blow the triple play because his hands were made of stone.
You want to go really deep into it, Brewster? Here we go. So it was April 6, 1973. He was facing Boston Red Sox right-hander Louis Tiant in his first plate appearance.
El Tiante.
He was walked on five pitches with the bases loaded in the first inning.
Left-hand batter. He could really hit, but man, he couldn't field worth a shit.
Wow.
All right.
We can't leave Major League without a quick discussion because this is the last regular season week before the playoffs, and there's only really two races that are left, and that's the wild cards in each league. I mean, you've got the Orioles are a clinch, but you got the Royals and the Tigers tied, and the Twins one back and the Mariners two back. And then in the National League, the Padres probably are already in. And you got the Mets and D-backs tied and the Braves two back. That's it. That's where the drama is. And you've got San Diego going to the Dodgers for three games. They only trail the Dodgers by three in the West. And then you've got Mets at Braves for three games with the Padres at the D-backs finishing up. So little drama left, but the playoffs right around the corner. We can talk about it next Monday. We'll know who the teams are.
Yeah, next Monday we'll tee it all up because then it'll be an off day. Maybe we can
go back in time and dig up Milk's quote about what the Rays were going to do to the Yankees this year.
We lost our pitchers, all right? See you next year.
I think the baseball nostalgist would love to see the Yankees-Dodgers World Series. Just let's hash it out and settle it on the field.
Well, and then you're going to get Judge Ohtani. So that would...
that's what I mean.
Have a new Mr. Yes. October.
Yeah, and... Juan Soto will be the MVP of the World Series then.
With apologies to House, because the Phillies
aren't here. As long as it's not the Phillies, I think that's...
Yeah.
I think I'm
milk.
The Mets ate their lunch last series.
Milk.
Yo.
Is there anything in college football we have to talk about?
Well, this is a big week. There were a couple games I want to talk about from last weekend, but this is Georgia Alabama week. I'll let Pope kind of let him have his moment and discuss Alabama, but that's the big game this weekend. This past weekend, wasn't too many great games. Highlight was Oklahoma, Tennessee. I think that this was Oklahoma's welcome to the SEC. I think they learned that they're not going to be able to play a Big 12 schedule every week, and it's going to be hard. I was pretty impressed by Tennessee. They really won on their defense, which was crazy.
They were lying around on defense.
Yeah.
Nico had a pretty bad game. He had two almost costly turnovers in that game. But they squeaked it out on defense, which was unexpected. Although Oklahoma had struggled earlier in the year on offense, and I was a little worried going into that game that it might really come to light, and it did. So Tennessee, big win there. I was impressed by Michigan. I thought for sure they were done after Texas.
Yeah, they looked like last year's Michigan run game.
Their new quarterback was 7 for 12 for 32 yards, by the way. But they
it's a whole new universe, right? We talked about it at the beginning of the season. It's 12 teams this year. So
absolutely. Michigan's fine.
Not out of anything at this point, even with a tough loss at home.
No. I
mean, what do you guys think was the play of the week in college football?
Oh, Shador.
Oh,
Sanders. Are you kidding? The Hail Mary?
No, the play of the week.
Not the Hail Mary? Well, Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter. Well, tackle on the goal line.
Yeah, either one.
Knock the ball out of that guy's hands. Baylor. That was a hell of a play for a skinny little dude.
I can't believe Shador threw the ball so far against his body. He was getting ready to get hit. I mean, and he still got it 50 yards.
50 something yards in the air. I mean, that was an amazing ending. I mean, other than that, SEC dominated as always. Georgia, Bama,
of course, milk. That's what they do.
I mean, here's my thoughts on Georgia, Alabama. It's at Bama. I think Georgia has some red flags on offense. I think that Alabama will expose those. I think that they're a more complete team. Jam Miller, Ryan Williams. I mean, they've got all sorts of talent all over the place. I'm just concerned by Georgia's offense. And I think in that environment, it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a hell of a game.
I got a question. Who is Saban rooting for? Does he want his replacement to knock Georgia off after he couldn't do it 2 years in a row?
His guys. Wait, time out. Saban beat Georgia in the game, but get them into the playoffs, the SEC championship game. They beat Georgia.
Yeah, but Georgia won back-to-back national championships, right? Michigan won it last year.
Correct.
The two years before that were Georgia. I don't know. Do you think Saban wants his replacement?
No, it's Saban's guys. It's his team.
Here's my question. Who is a drier, more boring football analyst? Tom Brady?
Or
Saban?
Oh, I think Saban's funny.
I got to say, I love Brady, but I don't know, man. He is not that good an announcer.
No, he sucks.
A good story in the Athletic about Troy Aikman, by the way, if you haven't read it yet, talking a little bit about how hard he works at being an announcer, and saying that he thinks Brady will get there and be okay at the end of the day.
Yeah, but Olsen is already there. They did him wrong, man.
He's pretty good.
He started out pretty good.
Brady will he will certainly put in the effort to get better. But big game the Saturday night. Bama. I think they win it.
Roll Tide.
All right. Anything else on college football?
There is one game. I was gonna bring it up as a buzzer, but since we're on college football. SMU hosts their first ACC game ever. On Saturday night against the Noles. Against the Noles. So, I got tickets for this game
in the summer when it was anticipated that Florida State would be undefeated. And, you know, SMU probably would have a winning record. I mean, it would be like potentially a, like, you know, a big event. And Florida State is actually, I cannot believe I'm saying this, they are a 5.5-point dog to SMU at in Dallas next Saturday night.
You know what I'm thinking? Can we lose more money betting on Florida State games? I think we can.
How about an Atlantic Coast Conference game being hosted in Dallas? What the fuck?
Yeah.
What? Florida State went to Cal.
Yeah.
In their first ACC game and beat them last week, 14-9. Barely won.
Milk's on mute. Milk's screaming and he's on mute. He can hardly control himself.
I hate the whole thing.
No, every time I was watching that game, desperately hoping Cal was going to win, that fucking field goal kicker literally missed like 235-yarders. But I kept seeing ACC on Cal's uniform and I'm getting more and more annoyed. I mean, that is absurd that they're in the
ACC. It's all absurd. It's all absurd. All right. Anything else on college? Who's got a punch? Don't call it a
comeback. I got a punch.
All right, I got one too. So you go first, Pope.
I'm going to punch the guy behind me who's not smiling. So Jerry Jones is getting a double punch from me. And I said I had some things to say, and that was when they were 28-6. I'm not going to not say those things because they made a great comeback in the fourth quarter and almost pulled it out, you know, at the end. This team, The cancer, it all starts from the top. It starts with Jerry Jones. It starts with him never putting a guy in as a football guy, as general manager. It's him and Steven, and they run the whole show, and that's it. And they don't listen to people. They in the off season, they didn't sign any free agents. They decided to rely on 4 starting rookies. They drubbed their feet on the contract negotiations with Dak and CD. And why is that important? Because if they had just signed Dak and CD, because ultimately they were going to, then they would have had plenty of money in free agency. And they could have signed one Derrick Henry who wanted to play for Dallas. But no, Jerry's like, just the most idiotic thing ever yesterday after the game. He said, we couldn't afford Derrick Henry. Well, A, they could have afforded him anyway, regardless of whether they restructured contracts or re-signed it and got more money at the cap. They had money to sign him. If they hadn't signed Trey Lance to a $5 million contract, they could have signed him again. Trey Lance, who's inactive for every game because he's his third string quarterback. But, you know, Jerry is like, I love Zeke. Zeke loves Dallas. Let's run it all over again. And the Cowboys are 31st for running in the NFL this year. And their ability to run and get stuffed on the run is hurting their ability to open up the passing game. You got to run to open up the passing game. It's going to be the albatross, the anchor, whatever you want to call it. It's going to drag this team down. And Jerry Jones has nobody to look in the mirror except himself for the blame of the horrific condition this Cowboy franchise is in as it's going to go down the toilet this year. Done. Punch.
I so hate to see that happen.
I know you do. I know Bison does. I know our little friend in Philly, wherever he is in court, does too. And Milk, I know you don't hate the Cowboys as much, but you're not crying over that.
I mean,
all right.
Yeah. I feel bad for you.
I got a punch too. I'm punching the FIA president, Ben Sulayem. I'm probably saying that wrong, but fuck him anyway. So this all started with Max Verstappen dropping an F-bomb on the radio, and getting punished for it and having to do a day of community service. And in his comments about why it was important to not swear on the radio during Formula One races, the president of FIA said, quote, We're not rappers, you know? They say the F word how many times per minute? We're not them. We're not that. That's them. We are us. Well, that's Lewis Hamilton really didn't take kindly to that because it is just full of racial undertones. Dude, come on, man. I mean, this is so stupid. It starts with the dumbest thing, and then you gotta come out with that shit. That is bad. That is racist. It's stereotypical. There's no room for it. Ben Soliam, you've got 4 days of community service, as far as I'm concerned, and an SMQB's punch, dick.
Ugh.
Anybody got a lasso?
No.
All right.
Wow. 2 weeks buzzer in a row. Beaters.
Do we have a
buzzer beaters?
I've got a buzzer.
All right. Good.
Interesting story coming out of Toronto, where the Raptors have decided to, you know, which should be a no-brainer, retire the jersey of Vince Carter, which would be the first Raptors jersey ever retired because they're a relatively young team. Vince Carter's going into the Hall of Fame this November. He played 7 seasons. He was drafted by the Raptors. He was Rookie of the Year. He put them on the map with his slam dunk contest and took them to the playoffs. And some of their executives wanted to hold back retiring his jersey so they could retire Kyle Lowry's jersey first because he was on the 2019 championship team. Well, you know, that team was led, we all know, by Kawhi Leonard. They weren't winning the championship without Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, Kyle Lowry is a good player. He's had a good career, but he really can't hold Vince Carter's jock in the picture. And it's just stupid. It's just stupid to have that kind of a public reaction to what should be a celebration. It should be. It's a little milk slap along with a buzzer.
Yeah. Good one.
Love milk slaps.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else got a buzzer beater? All right. Hey, watch the Commanders tonight. I told Rooster before we went live, the last time Commanders and Bengals played was the night Joe Burrow blew his knee out. Nobody wants to see that again. But I wouldn't mind the final score being the same. I'm also not holding my breath for that.
I hope Jamar Chase lights it up for my fantasy team and the Commanders win.
Amen. I'll take it.
Who would you recommend betting on that game? Just if you forgot.
I've got the Commanders with the points. And the Jaguars with the points.
Hey,
who am I following? Rooster.
I am following Rooster's undefeated.